What is going on, everybody? It's your host, Deb, over at the Social Marketing Advice Podcast, and happy Tuesday, or I guess whatever day you might be tuning in to episode 9 on. But either way, hope you are having a great week. It is so great to be back again at the podcast, and today I am going to be covering 5 things that every small business should be doing online right now. Now, after I cover those things, then I'm going to dig into my weekly segment called The Terrible Truth, where I share the harsh reality of how much money you could actually save by outsourcing your marketing to an independent contractor. And then lastly, of course, I'll be sharing the latest and greatest social media platform updates that you need to know and hopefully apply into your marketing strategies. Are you ready to dive in? Let's go ahead and get started. Now, the first thing that I think that every small business should be doing online right now is building/updating your website frequently. Honestly, updating your website regularly is not a bad thing to do at all. It can actually improve your website's SEO, it can increase traffic, and believe it or not, prevent security threats. Now, whether it might be adding new pages full of relevant, helpful content to your audience, creating new blogs, or even just enhancing the user experience, too many people forget about their website. Typically, they think it's a one and done thing, and it is not. Your website is one of the most important collateral pieces that you have to showcase your business. Sadly, in today's world, people don't want to talk to somebody until they're absolutely ready. And so that means that what they're going to do is search you on Google. They're going to look through your reviews. They're even going to look at your negative ones. And then they're going to go to your website, your social media pages. They want to see that you're active. They want to see that you're involved, that you haven't stopped posting back 5 years ago, because then that makes it look like your business isn't even open. But most importantly, your website. Your website should be the key splash page, essentially, that your potential customers should be going to. So you need to take some time to give it some love and attention and somehow create that into your schedule, whether it's once a quarter, you have time to do some updates, or you hire somebody like me to constantly keep enhancing that site. The options are endless, but just please do not forget about your website. In today's world, the details matter. And just in case you don't believe me, just check out a couple of these stats. Websites that are updated regularly have 434% more indexed pages than those that are not updated. Now, that in and of itself is huge. Having indexed pages essentially just means that, you know, the sites like Google and Bing, they're crawling those pages. They've basically placed value in those pages, and they will continue to serve those pages organically to more people. So again, the more content you could have that's valuable, you know, it's going to benefit you in the long run. Now, next stat is 72% of online marketers describe content creation as their most effective SEO tactic. Now, content creation could be blogs, it could be social and all those other things, but blogging is very, very powerful as well. Even if you add into your marketing strategies a once a month new blog to put out, or once every week if you can, you know, handle that. Putting out new and relative content to what people are asking, what they're going through, that is going to do wonders for your business and to bring more people organically to your website. Now, stat number 3 is that 61% of consumers say that they are more likely to do business with a company that publishes high quality content. Again, yet another reason to maybe partner with a professional like me or somebody that is in the marketing space in your industry, because really stylizing your business and what you're putting out online can really separate you from your competitors. You know, if you are let's just say a landscaping company, there's a lot of landscapers out there. There's a lot of people that are doing that as a side hustle, but sometimes people want a professional. You know, sometimes the paying somebody a little bit less isn't going to get you better service or quality. You know, paying somebody less might mean that they might not actually show up every couple weeks and your grass starts growing and you get an HOA violation, you know? So it's those kinds of things that actually paying a professional can actually make a difference, because at the end of the day, you can't do everything. You need to be out there hustling, doing what you do best, selling your product, service, whatever it might be, and, you know, outsource some of those responsibilities like updating your website, doing social content, coming up with the ideas for your marketing strategy. Hire somebody like me just to even have a conversation about whether or not that might be the right fit for you. But the last stat I want to share with when it comes to building and updating your website is that 75% of people judge a company's credibility by the design of its website. 75%. That was one of those like emoji mind-blowing moments because, you know, 75% of people are looking at your website. A, do you even have a website? B, what does it look like? Is it mobile friendly, which is absolutely critical in today's age? But they want to know that it's, you know, it looks valuable. Sometimes the cheap little templatey looking websites don't even do so well. People want to know that you've invested time, money, and attention in your business. And guess what? That includes on your website. So I really don't think I need to go any further into that. I hope that kind of pushes you a little bit more to do more on your website. I do think it is worth your time, effort, and money. Now, number two on my list of things that small businesses should be doing online right now is going to be creating content for social media. Now, I know this is an obvious one, but it really isn't as simple as most may think. Now, from leveraging different platforms, creating the content for those platforms, and taking the time to actually engage with people on those platforms, it is a lot of work. Now, if you're a small business, maybe just yourself, you're just starting out, there are a few things that you can do on a weekly basis to at least get things rolling. First could be creating and sharing content. This could be blog posts, articles, infographics, videos, photos. For example, I know a lot of realtors, your brokerage may give you, you know, pre-curated, branded content for social media. Use what you got, people. I mean, that is one of the biggest things that just, at the end of the day, it's important to get something out there, even if it's not necessarily exactly what you want. Just start somewhere and start small, but just make sure that what you are putting out there is valuable, relevant, you know, to your actual audience, and it's valuable to them. Don't just mindlessly post stuff just to post stuff. You actually have to think about who your audience is, when they're online, what they're looking for, what kind of questions they have. So really think about what kind of content you should create and just develop a little schedule about the best way to get it out. Second thing you could do is post regularly. You know, I really try to aim to post at least once a day on each of your social media platforms. However, it's even more important to post high quality content than to post frequently. Number three could be use relevant hashtags. Now, hashtags are still a great way to get your content seen by more people. While this is diminishing in, you know, being helpful in social media, there are still a couple platforms left that hashtags are worth something. Keep in mind, you know, these hashtags are getting a little bit less irrelevant thanks to the AI technology that can just auto read all of our captions directly. So there's no need for hashtags. But I think some generations are still used to using hashtags for searching. So if you're using Instagram, for example, still put, you know, a couple hashtags, but definitely don't overdo it. And then, you know, maybe put some on Twitter, etc. So just again, at the end of the day, don't go crazy over hashtags. It's really not going to make, I think, too big of a difference on your content. But when you are posting hashtags, don't just put silly hashtags like hashtag what a great day, right? You want to actually put hashtags that people will be typing in the search bar to potentially pull up content like yours. For example, if you're a real estate agent, you know, hashtag, I'm just going to say Raleigh real estate, you know, that way when people are searching Raleigh real estate or, you know, Raleigh realtor, potentially your content will come up. Those are the kinds of things that you need to understand about hashtags is it's more for search purposes than just, you know, being cutesy little one-liners. So use relevant hashtags if you're actually going to do them. Now, another tip that I have is engage with your audience. People forget about this part all the time. They just want to pump, pump, pump content, which is great. High five to that. But there's a whole nother piece to, you know, growing your following. And guess what? It takes time and nurturing. You have to actually talk to people, respond to people, like their comments, share their stuff, get in front of them. I mean, you've got to hustle when it comes to social media. It is not all about just creating content. So engage with your audience. And the more you do that, the more likely they are to follow you and start interacting with your content. So even if in your schedule you take, you know, 15 minutes a day or 15 minutes a week to take the time on each of your platforms and go like and follow and share and comment, but do it authentically. Don't just do it mindlessly, but do it authentically. Take a little time out of your schedule to do that, and I guarantee you will see results from that. Last but not least on this tip is partner with other businesses. Now, cross promotion is super powerful. It's a great way to reach, you know, new audiences. And when you partner with these other businesses in your industry, you're kind of self-promoting yourself and, you know, that other business that you're bringing into the fold. So it can be very, very powerful. You can create some really cool videos and TikTok ideas with collaborative posts. So just maybe consider doing a little bit of that to maybe get yourself into the video game. Now, I have a couple more tips for small businesses that these are a little bit more direct. Now, one is going to be to focus on one or two platforms. I know that, you know, I've always been a big believer on putting your eggs in multiple baskets, getting yourself on as many platforms as possible, but that takes a lot of time. So unless you have somebody like me who's helping you do that, it can be next to impossible. So don't freak out about, you know, not being able to be on all five key platforms. If you just do one or two to start with, just do that and get yourself, you know, comfortable and into a rhythm. Second is use, you know, plenty of social media management tools. There are a ton of free ones out there that can help you schedule your posts, give you analytics, and sometimes they can also help you engage with your audience. Some of those also may be paid platforms, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, anything that makes your life and job easier is worth the time and money. So consider maybe getting a social media management tool, like Later, for example, is a good one that you might, you know, make a little bit of your day a little bit less chaotic to get the social piece out. Third is going to be creating a social media calendar. Now, this is very bland and simple, but it's something people forget about. It at least gives you a plan and a method of attack. So that way, every day you can go to your calendar after it's planned out, you know what you got to do, what you got to post, what, you know, without really having to think about it too much. So creating that social media calendar will help you plan that content in advance and help you stay organized. So always a win-win. Second to last on this list is repurposing your content. You know, you can share your blog posts and articles and videos multiple times across social media, and you can even like recreate them. So if you did a video last year, you can take that same footage and just recreate it and spin it into something that's relevant today. So repurpose the content that you have taken so much time and dedication out of your day to create and revitalize it in some way. Last but not least is consider using user-generated content. For example, from, you know, client video testimonials is probably the easiest example to talk about. People believe when other people, you know, trust someone else. So if someone has had a great experience with you and you think they'd be comfortable doing a video, ask them, you know, set it up for them, make them feel comfortable, do it in a comfortable setting, and record it and get somebody to edit it and post it on social media. Those testimonial videos should also be on your website. And of course, you need the 5-star reviews actually written on Google and Facebook. So there's a lot of things you even have to do that I think businesses forget about after the transaction. Obviously, asking for a Google review is first, but one of the other things is this video context for testimonials can be extremely powerful. Running some targeted ads with those are like gold. So just consider reaching out to your past clients or, you know, developing some kind of user-generated content that's created by your customers, whether it's photos, the videos, doing reviews for you. There are so many endless options, but again, you know, just start small. Hopefully some of these tips give you some ideas at least to get yourself started. So third on my list for things that every small business should be doing online is creating a past customer experience. Now, small businesses need to take the time to appreciate their past customers. What people don't realize is that past customer databases are extremely, extremely powerful. But the thing is you can't just, you know, end the conversation with the client because it's done and then, you know, c'est la vie, never going to talk to you again. You have to nurture those relationships. You have to keep up with those people. You know, a couple of of my clients have done really cool ideas, like, you know, on their birthday, they'll send brownies, or on their anniversary, or, you know, you have to think outside the box, get the information you need and make it happen. But at the end of the day, that past customer experience is worth a lot of money and future opportunity for you. So take the time to get to know the people who have actually helped grow your business over the time. And those people are the same ones who most likely will refer you to other people. So capitalize on it. That's exactly why it's important to create and have that great past customer experience. Now, 89% of consumers say that they are more likely to do business with a company that has a good reputation for customer service. At the, you know, let's be honest, customer service is everything nowadays. If you pick up the phone to a, you know, a large corporation, I'm just going to, like a big TV company, for example, I'm not going to drop names, but you probably know who I'm talking about. You call these large corporations and, you know, they've basically automated their process overseas. And it takes me 2 hours to get through to somebody to actually have a conversation to get them to understand what I'm needing versus, you know, if they had in-house that and it's people local that know the, you know the issues, know how to talk to customers, that customer experience is critical. It can really differentiate you to your competitors. So 71% of consumers say that they are likely to recommend a company to others if they had a positive customer experience. What a no-brainer. But again, a lot of people forget to ask, you know, for that referral to keep you top of mind. If family or friends need a similar service, you know, you have to take the time to nurture and build those relationships even after the first transaction. Last but not least on this stat list is 64% of consumers say that they are willing to pay more for products and services from a company that they trust. 64% say they're willing to pay more. So again, if you are getting referrals, you know, take the time to do your diligence, because a lot of people that I know have decent size databases, decent amount of connections, and they are not leveraging them at all. And it's sad because there's so much opportunity sitting right in front of them, but they're just not taking advantage of it and grabbing it and putting together a plan. So at the end of the day, though, there are many ways to create that great past customer experience. One way is to follow up with them regularly. You can do this via email, social media, even a cute little handwritten note. Another way you could do that is to offer them like an exclusive discount or a promotion, or, you know, you could even give them early access to a new product or service. You know, make them feel special. They've already given you business. They've trusted you enough to hire you and work with you. So now give back to them a little bit. And I promise you will get that back tenfold. Now, I did want to share a couple ideas on how you can create that great past customer experience. So if you are looking to do this a little bit more for your business, just jot these down. So first is to create a follow-up drip email campaign that goes out a few times a year. In your emails, you can offer past customer resources, just additional value, or just a simple friendly check-in. Go even a little further and do a little cute video of you waving to them and just saying, hey, was thinking about you, hope you're doing well. Let me know if there's anything I can help you with. The extra detail can make a difference on even how successful that reach out is. So, you know, take the time to create a drip email campaign like that, you know, something that at least is decently automated. It will take you some time to build it out from the jump, but once it's done, it's automated. And it's kind of like a set it and forget it thing to a point. Second tip on this is you could collect your past clients' birthdays or anniversaries, even their pets' anniversaries and birthdays, and send them something special on those days. Now, this could be a discount, a gift certificate, or even just a simple little message, you know, if you don't have the money to actually spend physically. Fourth on this list is to create a loyalty program for past customers. This could give them rewards for repeat business, referrals, or other activities. When you give people something to give you, to send you business, a lot of people, it's just an incentive. You know, they're putting a carrot in front of you. And so take advantage of maybe creating a loyalty program for those referrals. Last but not least is to host events or workshops for past customers. I have a lot of clients that do, you know, annual events for their past clients. And that is a great idea, at least just to, you know, schmooze them a little bit, make them, you know, feel like you guys are back in tune again, just like it was a year ago when you guys originally worked together. So take some time to host some stuff for them, invite them to that. And it's just honestly a great way to show them that you appreciate their business and that you're interested in helping them succeed as well. Now, at the end of the day, by creating a past customer experience, you can increase customer loyalty, you can boost your word of mouth marketing, and drive repeat business. So I don't know what you're waiting for. You need to get something started. Next on my list of things that every small business should be doing online is spending more money to get in front of more people. Now, spending money, I know, is, you know, one of those conversations, I think, that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, you have to spend money to make money. If that means that you have to take more time to save up to be able to do that, then do that. You know, it's not necessarily a rush, but you have to be able to put funds aside to help grow your business. Most people who, you know, it's not like winning the lottery, right? It is not an overnight sensation that you're going to start doing a ton of business. It's a hell of a lot of work, a hell of a lot of time. And at the end of the day, even with social media the way it is and organic reach going dramatically down, you know, you are going to have to spend some money on these platforms if you want to, you know, get your content in front of more people. It's great that your followers might sometimes be seeing your content, but what about everybody else that doesn't know who you are, that may need your service? You know, you have to start spending some money to get in front of more people. Honestly, sadly, because that organic reach has been declining for years now, it's becoming super difficult to try to reach that target audience without using paid advertising. And honestly, a lot of paid advertising is kind of, you know, kept hush hush a little bit. There's a lot of people that talk about it, but it's kind of granular. It's not digging very deep into it. So paid advertising, I think, has a lot of opportunity. But again, you got to save up some money or have some funds set aside to, you know, get your stuff in front of more people. Now, check these stats out. Only 5.2% of Facebook page posts are seen by organic followers. 5.2%. That is like nothing, especially for those of you that, you know, nothing wrong with it, but you only have 200 followers on your Facebook page. So every time you post, only 5.2% of those 200 people are actually seeing your content. And I'm sorry, that's nothing. So if you're actually taking the time to create high quality content, do videos, you know, you hire someone like me, you got to set some money aside to get that content in front of more people. You know, you're taking all the time to create everything. You might as well expose it to as many people as possible and increase your chances. Only 2.6 of Instagram posts are seen by organic followers. That's an even lower organic reach than Facebook. And technically they're owned by Meta, so same company, but lower stat. So Instagram, technically the organic reach is even worse. And then only 0.6% of Twitter posts are seen by organic followers. That's crazy. So don't even need to talk about that anymore. But at the end of the day, there are many ways you could spend money to get in front of more people on social. You can run ads, boost your posts, use a combination of both, SEO. But honestly, the best approach for you will just depend at the end of the day on your budget and your goals. But here are just a couple specific tips for spending money to get in front of more people on social. First is going to be target the right audience. Now, when you're running these ads, it's important to target the right audience. This will help you to reach the people who are most likely to be interested in your products or services. Now, I know on platforms like Facebook and Instagram, we are limited in some industries like real estate, mortgages. They really limit the amount of targeting that you can do. But again, that's why you hire someone like me who has done the research, have run a ton and ton of ads to really distinguish at least what targeting features we can use and how to maximize those. So just keep that in mind. You got to target the right audience and understand who your audience is. Second tip is to use clear and concise ad copy. Now, your ad copy should be clear, simple. It should highlight the benefits of your product or service. I mean, there's nothing else really, honestly, that needs to be said about that. Third tip is to use high quality images and videos. High quality can help capture people's attention even faster when they're scrolling on the feeds, and it makes your ads more engaging. So just keep that in mind. Second to last tip is to test different ad formats. Facebook and Instagram is phenomenal for this. You can test so many different variations of things, whether it's a different image with the same caption to see which image produces best, or different captions with the same image, or a multitude of both. But there are different ad formats available on each social platform. So it's really cool that you have the opportunity to test these different options to see what best works for your business. At the end of the day, we personally could think something will produce the best and it actually will be the worst producing one, because you really don't know until you put it out there in the universe and basically allow the platform to distinguish which ad people are resonating with the most. So kind of a cool idea. And last but not least is to track your results. Now, it's important to track those results so you can actually see what's working and what's not. And then you can constantly tweak it as you move forward. This will honestly help you to improve your campaigns over time. And it should ideally reduce your cost as well, because the more ads you run, the better you're looking at your data, the more you're tweaking things, you're going to learn what is working for you and what isn't. So pay attention to those results and tweak accordingly. At the end of the day, though, spending money to get in front of more people can be a great way to grow your small business. By following some of those tips that I shared, you can honestly make the most of your budget and reach your target audience. So number five, last but not least, of something that every small business should be doing online is doing something different. Small businesses need to do things differently when it comes to marketing. There's too much competition with inflation. You know, people are freaking out about money and savings and, you know, what they can actually do realistically. So the traditional marketing strategies that used to work, some of them may still work, but they're definitely not going to be as effective. So in order to reach your target audience, achieve those marketing goals, small businesses need to start thinking outside the box and trying new things. Now, there are honestly plenty of ways to do things differently when it comes to marketing. One way is to try a different form of content. For example, if you've been writing blog posts for years, you could maybe try doing more video content and see what happens. Or if you've been focusing on social media, you could maybe start a podcast and start flowing that into what you're doing on marketing. Another way to do things differently is to partner with other businesses. This is a great way to reach a new audience and cross-promote your products or services. Lastly, you can also try new marketing strategies. So for example, you could try influencer marketing, content marketing, or social media marketing. All right, everybody, if you have enjoyed what you have heard so far, maybe you've learned something, you've jotted something important down, then you're going to add to your marketing strategy, I would really appreciate you just take the time and subscribe to my podcast. Whether you're listening on Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the list could go on and on and on. But either way, I would really appreciate it if you would hit that subscribe button. That way, too, you'll be first to be notified about new episodes as they come out. You also don't know, I may be in a mood or maybe breaking news about something in marketing. I may just do a random podcast episode here and there. So another reason to just hit that subscribe button. All right, guys, it is time for the terrible truth. Now, this is always a segment I share every week on my podcast that basically digs into something that small business owners might not want to hear, but they need to hear. So today, my terrible truth is talking about the harsh reality of how much money businesses could actually save by outsourcing their marketing to an independent contractor that they trust versus having someone in-house or even hiring a large marketing agency. Now, just bear with me. Some of you may not agree with me, and that's cool. This is solely my opinion and what I have seen with the businesses that I have worked with. But, you know, I really want to talk a little bit about what that could look like if you were to outsource your marketing to an independent contractor. Now, I always recommend it's got to be somebody you trust, somebody you've taken the time to get to know. You need to make sure that you guys are on the same page, you understand your goals, they can, you know, talk in your voice per se, if they're doing social media and marketing for you. There's a number of different things you need to consider. But at the end of the day, if it can save you money and potentially increase the quality and results that you're getting, I mean, it should be a no-brainer. But let's just dig in a little bit deeper. So here are just a couple interesting stats that I want you to just sit and ponder about. The first is that the average salary for a marketing manager in the United States is $122,000, or actually just under $123,000 a year. Okay, so if you were to hire a marketing manager that is experienced in your industry, and it's going to be a 9-to-5 job, maybe some, you know, overtime, whatever, you are going to be looking at about $122,000, $123,000 is the average marketing salary in the United States for a marketing manager. Okay. Now, I've been in roles that I have made very close to that. And truthfully, at the end of the day, it's all about how you structured if you are in-housing a position like that. However, that's a lot of money for a business to be putting out. And at the end of the day, I see a lot of marketing departments that spend a lot of time doing nonsense, doing stuff that doesn't do anything for the business. They are not focused. They're having too much fun in that office. And that's one of the things I've really found working remotely. Now, I'll travel to my clients or have meetings with them every week on Zoom or whatever. But at the end of the day, when people are gathering in an office, there is a lot of work that is not being done. And attention are focused elsewhere. Relationships are all over the place in a busy office. So if anything, it may just be something to think about, even for the future, if not today. Second stat I want you to think about is that the average cost of benefits for a full-time employee in the U.S. is just under $21,000 per year. That's just for providing benefits to that employee, okay? So you're going to add that on top of what they're paying for a salary. And then third stat is the average monthly retainer for an independent marketing contractor is $3,000. Okay, so that's in comparison. So let's say you have an in-house person, it's an in-house marketing manager for your company, you're paying them just under $123,000 a year, plus another 20 grand-ish a year to provide them benefits if you're going to. So that's a lot of money. Versus if you were to hire an independent contractor like me, they might be charging you probably for full marketing where they handle everything for you, you're probably looking at $3,000 to $5,000 or $6,000 a month, depending on how much they're going to be doing, how much time is going to be dedicated to it, etc. So if you think about that and you break the numbers down, which we will hear in a minute, you know, it could save you a chunk of change. And then guess what? Then you have some more money left over that you probably would have been paying for a full-time person salaried in-house to actually put towards, you know, paid ads, targeting, you know, leveraging more tools and programs that'll, you know, ease some load on your business. Just a couple of things to think about, you know, and at the end of the day, though, a lot of independent contractors, they will probably have a couple of clients, especially if they're priced at that level. Just like me, I work with a couple large clients who are my retainer clients, and then I do some project work to kind of fill in the gaps as I need to. And I love working with everybody. I think that's one of the coolest things about my job is I'm working with numerous different industries from people all across the country. I mean, it's a really cool opportunity that I have, and I am super blessed to work with the people that I do because I am constantly learning and growing as well as them with them. So I think hiring and considering an independent marketing contractor may be something you want to look into. Now, if you were to hire a full-time marketing manager, you'll be paying them, just as we mentioned, about $123 a year, plus that $21 a year in benefits for a total of just under $144,000 per year. Okay, that's a lot of money. But again, if you outsource that marketing to an independent contractor with a monthly retainer, let's just say of $3,000, you'll only be paying them $36,000 per year. So that means that by outsourcing your marketing, you could save just over $100,000 per year. Okay, that's a lot of money that you would have to move around and re-leverage based on what you need to. Now, of course, the actual amount of money that you'll save will depend on, you know, a number of factors like the size of your business, the scope of your marketing needs, and the experience of the actual contractor that you hire. However, even if you only save a fraction of the amount in the example I shared, it is still a significant amount of money. Now, here are some other examples of how much businesses have saved by outsourcing their marketing. One small business saved $25,000 per year by outsourcing to an independent contractor. Another small business saved $50,000 a year by outsourcing their marketing to a contractor. Last but not least, a medium-sized business saved $100,000 per year by outsourcing their entire marketing department to an independent contractor. Now, again, I'm not saying this is the best decision for everybody in every situation, but if you find the right person who understands your goals, you are having weekly meetings, you know, this is a very reliable opportunity for you to save money and and reinvest that money back into your business. But here's a couple things that I want you to consider when you are deciding whether or not to outsource your marketing. First is going to be your budget. Obviously, outsourcing can be a more cost-effective option than hiring a full-time in-house marketer, but it's still important to factor in the cost of outsourcing when making your decision. Second is going to be your needs. What are your goals? What tasks do you need help with? You need to really understand what your needs are so that you can start to look for independent contractors who specialize and have experience in those areas. So you got to know what you need. Third is going to be the actual experience of the contractor. When hiring an independent contractor like me, it's important to look for someone who has experience in your industry and with the types of marketing tasks you need help with. I've seen so many times that people hire a marketing person for them and they forget to ask things like, hey, can you build presentations on this platform? Are you an Adobe, you know, suite connoisseur? Can you video edit and put, you know, captions on it? Can you edit my podcast? You know, there are so many things and questions that you need to be asking your marketing person to make sure that they actually have the experience and knowledge under their belt. And if you ask them the question, they should have a good answer. So just consider the experience of that contractor that you might hire. Last but not least is going to be the quality of the contractor's work. Ask for samples of what they've done, read reviews from other clients, you know, just do your due diligence. At the end of the day, it's just like hiring anybody. You want to do your due diligence. Now, a couple other things that you potentially could see as a benefit if you were to outsource your marketing is access to more expertise. Now, independent contractors often have a deep level of expertise in specific areas of marketing. This can be invaluable for some businesses that don't have the in-house resources to support a full-time marketing team. This is huge. You know, something like me, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I am constantly, you know, regurgitating and looking up news and learning what new platforms are changing and how I can incorporate these things into my clients' businesses and marketing strategies. I mean, I am always on the prowl for something new that can help innovate my clients. You know, it is working with the right person that has that kind of drive and determination to make things honestly always better. I've always just been a big believer of, you know, something can always be better, right? We can always make this better. We can always change this a little bit more and make it better. And that's really what I think a lot of businesses should think about. You know, what can we do to constantly make our business better, whether it's, you know, streamlining marketing or streamlining your in-house operations or streamlining payments, whatever it might be, you know, accessing the right independent contractor with the right expertise and the right drive is going to be critical. One other thing I want you to think about is the flexibility. You know, outsourcing allows you to scale your efforts up or down as needed. This can be helpful for businesses that experience seasonal fluctuations or that might be launching new products or services. At the end of the day, you know, outsourcing can free up a hell of a lot of your time so you can actually focus on the aspects of your business that are important that will make you more money. At the end of the day, if you're getting more business, it should be no problem to hire someone like me if you're, you know, bringing in more money. So at the end of the day, just take the time to consider if maybe outsourcing your marketing might be a good idea for you. It might not be for everybody, and that's great. There are some companies that absolutely need a full-size marketing team in-house, constantly grinding, you know, doing their thing, but definitely not most small businesses probably need that much. All right, now on to social news. Now, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but there isn't too much new updates on social side, but there are a few that I thought were worthy of sharing. First is going to be Instagram's new feature. Now, this feature allows you to share a story on another user's account, whether it's an image or a video. The user has to accept the content, and if they approve it, it will appear in their story with their tagged handle. I think this will be a cool way to kind of do that dual collaboration concept. So just check it out on Instagram. It's a cool new feature I thought would be worth trying out. So second is going to be that Meta launched Instagram Meta Verified, which basically gives users the option to subscribe to this program and among a ton of other advantages. You can also receive the verified account blue checkmark, which makes you look even more legit. Now, Meta Verified has taken quite a while to actually develop. It actually didn't roll out to all locations initially, and Honestly, it was because it was only for personal accounts initially, so it excluded those business accounts. But now it is rolling out to business accounts, which is exciting. So Meta actually opened this program to company accounts recently. All you got to have is just a company account on Facebook and you can join the wait list. So last but not least on the list is that you can now create multiple personal profiles to organize your experience on Facebook. So kind of think of it like, I think I saw this on somebody's email campaign, that you can kind of think of it like one profile for the foodie scene that you love and another one to keep up with your friends and family. Now, while I think this is kind of a cool concept, I don't know about you, but I don't need any other profiles to have to manage and swap in and out and toggle, you know, in and out of. I am just not down for that. I already hate that you have to toggle in and out of the personal just to reach your business on Facebook. I hate that. But obviously I have to get used to it because they ain't changing it back. So, but this might be an advantage to some of you who want to kind of keep things separated. So just know at the end of the day, you can have multiple profiles through Facebook now. Kind of an interesting idea. Now that is it for today, guys. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know this was a lengthy one, but hope you got something good out of it. Again, if you really enjoyed today's episode, learned something, jotted something down that you want to implement in your marketing strategy, I really would appreciate it if you take a second and subscribe to my podcast. It really helps my podcast grow, reach more organic followers, which we all want in our business. Let's be honest, but I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. You have a great rest of your week and see you on the next one.